One Central New York man has his name woven through much of the history of the abolitionist movement, though many might not know him or much about him. In this installment of our Black History Month series, CNY Unknown Underground, we'll visit Peterboro to learn a little more about Gerrit Smith. Many of the anti-slavery activities and prominent figures in history benefited greatly from his support. If you drive into Peterboro, New York, you must have been coming here or you're lost. The small Madison County hamlet, 7 or 8 miles east of Cazenovia, north of Route 20, is surrounded by farms and gently rolling hills and not much else. Once here, driving along the village green, it's not hard to find the Gerrit Smith estate. Norman Dan knows the place pretty well. He lives a short stone's throw from the visitor center.
To our left is the stable barn. It was never a dairy barn, and that's an important
Dan is pretty well versed in the life of Gerrit Smith and the connections he has to the abolitionist movement, from writing a biography and giving speeches and tours of the property.
The farm was about a quarter of a mile up the road from here. So this stable barn was very important in the Underground Railroad as the home of the transportation that took the runaway slaves north. Hundreds of them came through here.
And more than offering safe haven and assistance on his property, Smith was an active participant in Underground Railroad missions.
Sometimes he actually went with them from here to Oswego. He had an agent in Oswego that was employed by him because of his business up there, and he was also an abolitionist. And they took them from here to there, and if it was dangerous times, owners or slave catchers or bounty hunters on their trail, he would go with them to protect.
But his most significant contribution to the history of freeing slaves was through sharing, or more accurately, giving away, much of his vast fortune to the cause. Smith, following from his father, owned and sold land all over the state, amassing great wealth and prominence. Peter Smith is where the name Peterboro comes from. He founded the hamlet. Norman Dan says Peter was anything but a philanthropist, but son Gerrit was drawn to helping those on the front lines of fighting slavery.
He funded Frederick Douglass and his journalistic efforts, and Frederick ran probably the most influential abolitionist newspaper within especially the Black community. Again, he would not have been able to do what he did without Smith's money. Smith gave him $100 a month. Doesn't sound like a heck of a lot of money today. You could spend that much at dinner. But it was equivalent to about $7,000 a month in today's money that he was giving Douglass to publish a newspaper.
And that kind of help was more than just monetary.
He funded Harriet Tubman and her efforts to take people north. She came through Peterboro. We know several times there's documentation of her sitting here in the land office with 7 former slaves with her that she had just gone to get and were bringing through.
Dan, through his research, writing, and speaking, has never really landed on an explanation why Smith became so altruistic after inheriting the extensive estate.
And he didn't want the money. He wouldn't even let his family have the money. He said, the money is here for me to do what it is that I do want to do with, and that is to help people who are in some way oppressed. And of course, slaves, women, sick people, poor people, whoever needed the money got it, and he gave away during his lifetime over $1 billion in our terms of dollars.
Dan notes Smith saw slaves growing up. They worked on some of the buildings of the estate. But he reasons some people are just hardwired to help others. The help to the Underground Railroad, financing so many abolitionist activities, and speaking and hosting meetings was only part of it. Smith went even further. At the time, back in the 1840s, a white man needed $100 worth of property to vote. A Black man needed $250 worth. Anyhow, Dan says Smith did his best to bridge that gap.
One of the efforts from the abolitionists was to eliminate that property qualification, or at least make it equitable. Well, they didn't. So he said, all right, if that's the way they're going to be, I'll give them the land. And that was his effort. And although it never resulted in a huge number of new voters, the noble piece of philanthropy is worth noting that there was someone who really thought Black lives matter.
One particular story with the Syracuse twist spoke to Smith's connections and maybe his guile. Harriet Powell, a slave, was visiting Syracuse with the family of John Davenport from Mississippi. She was only a quarter Black, so very light-skinned, described as very beautiful. She became known as the Fair Fugitive after she escaped from the family with the help of people in a Syracuse hotel. Onondaga Historical Association Executive Director Greg Tripoli picks up the story after Harriet was taken to numerous safe houses, pursuers hot on her trail.
She has moved to Garrett Smith's mansion in Peterborough. He has arranged for her to be taken to Kingston in Ontario and for her to be met there and taken care of.
Tripoli notes two notable things happened at Smith's house. While she was being hidden, Harriet made a very interesting intersection with another major part of history.
One is that she met Garrett's cousin, whose name was Elizabeth Cady, soon to become Elizabeth Cady Stanton, one of the most famous women's rights activists and civil rights activists in history. Two women from very different backgrounds. Garrett Smith's instructions to Harriet was to make a good abolitionist out of his cousin, Elizabeth Cady, and to tell her her story of slavery. And Elizabeth Cady, for the rest of her life, marked that discussion with Harriet as the moment that she became an abolitionist.
He says Elizabeth Cady Stanton and others might have actually put women's rights on hold a bit while abolition was being pursued. Also, on the very day Harriet left the Smith estate to be smuggled toward freedom, Tripoli says her owner and federal marshals showed up.
Garrett, of course, knowing that the longer he could keep all of them there, the greater chance Harriet had to be able to put some distance between her and her pursuers. And so he was very, very hospitable, and at which point they laid out this feast that would take literally hours to consume. He was very impressed with the grandeur of the house and the hospitality of this man. And so he stayed and had dinner.
And not only did Harriet Powell successfully escape to Canada, but Garrett Smith subsequently penned an open letter in a newspaper to Davenport informing him of the welfare of Powell, who, he noted, was gaining her freedom just as the two of them dined. Smith would go on to serve in Congress and even run for president, espousing his abolitionist views. His biographer Norman Dan says those views did not always make him friends.
He wasn't liked by everybody. He had his enemies. He was a temperance man, and of course people who weren't interested in that may not have liked him. It was not popular to be an abolitionist in the North in the 1830s, 40s, 50s. It was the North was very dependent upon the economy of slavery.
New York, as a state, had only voted to end slavery in 1827. Despite Smith's contributions to abolition, both monetarily and otherwise, Dan finds at least one reason his role isn't more well known.
Many people don't know about Garrett Smith because that's the way he wanted it. He wanted to be in the background. He didn't want accolades of praise for what he was doing with his money and his power. He wanted it to happen, and he wanted slavery to end, and he was very influential in that. But he wasn't looking for praise for it.
On the Garrett Smith estate is the visitor center, the barn, and the land office where Smith did much of his land dealings to amass his wealth. Right down the road is the Abolitionist Hall of Fame, but that might someday change.
The Smith residence, the mansion house, stood right here beside the land office. And it was a very large 2.5 to 3-story building that burned in 1936. And one of our big dreams here is to rebuild that mansion and put the National Abolition Hall of Fame in it.
Dan says people visit to do research at the Smith Estate and the Hall of Fame. There are also tourist trips during summers that draw bigger crowds. And this August will once again be Emancipation Day, fitting because it was Garrett Smith who bought the Emancipation Proclamation and donated it to the state for display, another role he played in abolitionist history. Chris Bolt, WAER News. And more information on Garrett Smith and some of the activities in Peterborough can be found at garrettsmith.org. Future segments of CNY Unknown Underground on the Matilda Gage Center's connection to the anti-slavery movement, and a little more on the Jerry Rescue Monument in downtown Syracuse will also be featured on NPR One. And you can listen to any of the Unknown Underground stories on our website at waer.org.